Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason out of the office today, so no regular update of the commodity markets. This special program, we'll talk a bit about Granular. It's one of the big data companies. I caught up with a couple of the people that work with Granular at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in November of 2015.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Our term of the day is liquidity. In business, economics, or investment, market liquidity is an asset's ability to be sold without causing a significant movement in the price and with minimum loss of value. Money or cash is the most liquid asset and can be used immediately to perform economic actions like buying, selling, or paying debt, meeting immediate wants and needs. However, currencies, even major currencies, can suffer loss of market liquidity in large liquidation events. A liquid asset has some or all of the following features. It can be sold rapidly, with minimal loss of value, any time within market hours. The essential characteristics of a liquid market is that there are always ready and willing buyers and sellers. Another elegant definition of liquidity is the probability that the next trade is executed at a price equal to the last one. A market may be considered deeply liquid if there are ready and willing buyers and sellers in large quantities. This is related to market depth that can be measured as the units that can be sold or bought for a given price impact. The opposite is that of market breadth, measured as the price impact per unit of liquidity. An illiquid asset is an asset which is not readily saleable due to uncertainty about its value or the lack of a market in which it is regularly traded. The liquidity of a product can be measured as how often it is bought and sold. This is known as volume. Often investments in liquid markets, such as the stock markets or futures markets, are considered to be more liquid than investments such as real estate, based on their ability to be converted quickly. And that's a definition of liquidity.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Let me take a moment now to thank you for listening to our ag programming. Thank you. I mean it. Really, thank you for listening to the programming. And just as a reminder, here's what you hear each and every business day. We start at 8:55 a.m. with the opening market report, including Aaron Curtis, Pete Manhart, Bill Gentry, Ellen Dearden, and Bill Mayer. And then an update at 10:58 a.m. with five other voices, Joe Vaklevic, Greg Ginder, Merrill Crowley, Chip Nellinger, and Steve Georgie, followed up at 12:58 each and every business day with Sue Martin, and then, of course, the closing market report, including our analysts Kurt Kimmel, Wayne Nelson, Jackie Vakes, Dan Zwicker, and Mike Zuzalem. And we wrap up each week by recording Commodity Week on Thursday evening. You can hear it at willag.org that night or on Friday afternoon at 2:36. Oh, and don't forget that we also have a whole series of regularly scheduled analysts during the closing market report for weather. Those include meteorologist on Monday, Mark Russo, Tuesday, Don Day, Wednesday, Drew Lerner, Thursday, Mike Tenora, and on Friday afternoon, both Jim Angel and Eric Snodgrass. WillAg.org. We think it's one of the most comprehensive places that you can find information about markets and weather and agricultural news. Oh, and thank you. Thank you so much for listening.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason out of the office today. So no update of the commodity markets. However, we do have a special program for you today all about big data, in particular about one company that is located here in Urbana-Champaign campus in Research Park. That's on the south end of the U of I campus. It's called Granular. I caught up with Augustina Sarcedoda. She's the director of marketing for Granular. Granular, which is a San Francisco-based company, has opened an office space in Urbana-Champaign.
Yeah, we're very excited about it. This is this was a big grand opening for our office in Research Park. We have a lot of strong ties to the university, so it makes sense for us to have a physical presence there. From a customer standpoint, many of our customers are located in the Midwest, so we wanted to be closer, wanted them to have a place where they can come in for training, for education, for networking. And on the other hand, from a recruiting standpoint, it's really interesting for us to have access to a pool of talent that is familiar with the farming industry, have ag backgrounds, but are also technical and smart, and they're into engineering, they're into technology. And so from that standpoint, we have a ton of hires already, and so we just wanted to make that relationship a little bit more formal.
Which colleges do you hire from primarily on campus?
College of Engineering is probably our highest, most popular school.
You said you had a couple of different products. What are they?
So our primary product is Granular, the farm management software, which is a platform that enables growers to more easily manage their large operation by putting together agronomic, financial, and operational information in one piece. Acre Value is a product that we offer for free to anyone. It's a free farmland valuation tool that basically aggregates all publicly available data on farmland to give users a one easy place to access crop production history, productive capacity of farms, and in some cases in select states, an estimated valuation of each parcel of land.
We'll talk about Acre Value in just a bit, but let's talk about Granular, really what it can do for a producer. How does it work?
Essentially, it's a place that aggregates data for the farm automatically. What we're trying to do is replace a lot of the manual data entry that farmers are subject to, even for complex large operations. A lot of these farms are super reliant on Excel, which is hard to update, hard to manage, very prone to error. And so what we want to do is have our growers put their crop plans in, their plans for the season, and then essentially just run the farm on Granular. So if you were to think of SAP as a big system for companies, we are the SAP for farms, where you put in your information at the beginning of the season, and then as the season progresses, inputs get applied, work orders get completed, everything gets updated in real time so that everyone on the farm can just log in easily and have access to information.
For those who don't know what SAP is, and I forget what the initials stand for, let's start there. Do you remember? I know what the program does. So the program is a way for companies, for instance, like Kraft Heinz in Urbana-Champaign, to be able to tell where products are in the line, where trucks are on the road, where anything that is an asset might be, including human capital, so that they can better produce more efficiently product lines. And you're doing that in a way for producers, but you're collecting the data, I think, directly in an input way that producers will find super simple and easy to use.
Yes, so what we're trying to do, the day-to-day aspect of farm management on Granular relies on a smartphone app. So everyone on the phone gets access, on the farm, sorry, gets access to the application, and essentially every field operator will mark their work orders complete or in progress as the day goes through, which eliminates a lot of like the two-way radio traffic, a lot of driving back and forth, a lot of telephone calls and texting, because at any given point, everyone knows what they're supposed to be doing and where. And because the phones are GPS enabled, we factor in specific field location data so that if, let's say, an employee is done applying fertilizer in this field, we'll say, well, it makes much more sense now for you to go to this field because you're here. And so a lot of the logistical and the communication challenges that are inherent in big operations are kind of eliminated. A lot of driving time is eliminated because your workforce is constantly updated. And then all that data flows back into the platform so that someone in the office can see, okay, Todd just did this on the farm. That's excellent. That means X for my inventory, for example. And everything is updated as the tasks are completed.
So excellent for real time. I'm in the farm, I'm working today, but at the same space, it also collects data from third party programs so that you're collecting information for farm management over the year.
Yeah, so what we'll do in terms of third parties is automatically integrate any data files that are produced by the combines, by the tractors, across the brands that farmers use the most. And then everything, again, gets put back together into one single platform. And then the grower decides who they want to share that data with. So for ag lenders, for crop insurance agents, they have the ability to create user-specific logins so that they have access to the information that they want to share without having to print, without having to drive and send. So it makes sharing a lot easier, and it just makes them much more professional, which then you can argue improves their access to land, improves access to capital, and just they're better equipped to grow and to present themselves in like an attractive way to potential partners.
Have to ask, why did this develop in San Francisco?
I think that's a really good question. We have our founders have different sort of agricultural backgrounds. But what we saw in San Francisco, Sid Gorham is our CEO and one of our co-founders. He has a long history in technology and startups. And he kind of figured out that from a farm management standpoint, agriculture has been kind of underserved in terms of technology. A lot of the investment that we've seen historically has been on the crop yield side of things, and he saw an opportunity to focus on the dollar yield side of things. And so in San Francisco, we're fortunate to work with the best developers at a very fast pace, and we just have access to that technical talent. And I think now with our office in Champaign, we can be also a lot more local. And so we're kind of bringing together the best of both worlds.
Is this web-based, meaning will it work on a PC, will it work on a Macintosh, will it work on an Android device, will it work on an iOS or Apple device?
Definitely. It works on all devices. There's no downloads. You go to the granular.ag, sign in from your phone, from your app, from your tablet, anywhere you are.
What's it cost?
The cost varies by acreage and by crop mix. We have a minimum contract of $15,000, but we don't have a minimum acreage. So that's probably kind of like our minimum bar.
And so what size producer really can afford to use the granular management, because it's fairly expensive on the front end side? They're certainly going to think that as a web-based product. How big do they really need to be to think about using granular on a grain and oilseed farm, corn and soybeans, in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska?
So it's difficult to say, kind of establish like a minimum acreage and say, well, you have to be at least X thousand acres. A lot of our growers buy granular for very different reasons, and they measure ROI in very different ways. So we have growers that are all about improving team communication and effectiveness, right? He doesn't want his team to be waiting in the office in the morning for him to develop and put out all the orders. Some others are all about controlling of data and being on top of everything at any given point. So it's more about what you want to get out of it and then and then kind of making the decision that way. In a sense, it is like an investment, but at the same time, you kind of get what you pay for. We're very sort of, one of the things that we've been trying to do with our new customers is help them understand that what you get today is not what you're going to get tomorrow. We release updates every quarter. We have training webinars. And so it really is software as a service versus a product.
So really what it sounds to me almost is if it's, I need a part-time office manager during the spring and the fall, potentially, so to help me organize where everybody is, or maybe I need a part-time comptroller to help me manage my books, but I can get both of those for an investment of $15,000 or thereabouts.
Exactly. One of the most frequently asked questions that we get is, do I need a dedicated person to run Granular? And the answer is the exact opposite. We make it easier. We don't want you to hire someone else. We don't want that person, the CFO or the bookkeeper, to spend more hours. It's in our experience, it's been the complete opposite. We have had customers that have said, I've been able to give my teams an extra day because they're much more effective. I can, especially during harvest right now, we're getting a lot of feedback saying, before I used to spend 20 hours a week in the office updating my harvest books. Now I spend 2 hours making sure that the ticket scales, the grain tickets and the truck tickets are all updated and it all flows. So it's quite the opposite. And that's the goal. That's our goal.
Oh, so maybe I can put it in different terms. Rather than hiring a part-time employee, it's more like buying a brand new piece of machinery, say a really nice auger wagon, that makes you more efficient on the farm.
Exactly. It's a longer term investment. And I think a lot of the customers that we work with have figured out that if they don't do this today, they're not going to be able to compete in the future, right? Because agriculture is becoming a lot more competitive. It's about managing cost of production. It's about being sophisticated with data. And really what we want is our customers to use data for business decisions, right? Farming is a business and we just want it to make it easier. There's a ton of uncontrollable risks in agriculture. We're focused on the risks that you can minimize.
Augustina, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd. It was great talking to you.
Augustina Sacerdote is the Director of Marketing for Granular. Tamara Toschen is the General Manager of another one of their products. It's called Acre Value. I asked her what she does at Granular.
So I'm the General Manager of Acre Value, which is a product offered by Granular. It's used by farmers, landowners, investors, appraisers, really anyone in the industry to understand the value and the productive capacity of farmland. In shorthand, you can think of it as the Zillow for farmland. And perhaps the most unique feature about our site is our automated valuation model, which is similar to the valuations you see on Zillow around the estimated price of your home. We take all the public data around farmland, compute it in a model, and estimate the value of a piece of farmland. This model was originally developed by a data scientist at Granular out of Stanford, whose family owned some farmland in Iowa. And they were sort of sitting around the table trying to decide whether it was the right time to sell it. And they couldn't come to a conclusion because they didn't know what they could sell it for. And they tried to do some research to see what farmland values were in that area. They couldn't find any sources of information. So this data scientist, he developed a model. And so that's now what we publish on our site in 3 states, Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana. Across the U.S., however, you can access critical data about farmland, most importantly, soil maps. So you can see the distribution of different soil types across a field. You can also see the distribution of the expected productivity of those soils across a field. So PI in Illinois, CSR2 in Iowa, and then NCCPI is what we use in the other states. You can also see a history of the crops grown on that field, the crop mix over time.
If I wanted to, for instance, find a particular soil type and have you show it to me, let's say, Ipava, can you do that in
You cannot run queries around soil types. No, you can only select a particular piece of farmland that you're interested in and get data about that piece of farmland.
Where does all the data come from?
Sure, so the soil data comes from the NRCS. The crop history data comes from NAS. And then we bring in a lot of other different data sources that feed our model across weather, climate, field shape and size. We look at average yields in the area, average rent prices, average values that are survey-based from the USDA. We look at livestock demand, a lot of terabytes and terabytes of data from all these different sources.
All available for free? Why?
The data is available for free, or Acre Value? Acre Value is available. So the history of Acre Value, I mentioned where the model came from, but really we decided to invest more in this tool because, you know, the customers that use Granular, our farm management software, are really expansion oriented, and top of mind for them is how do I get more ground and at the right price. And so, you know, wanting to provide so the end-to-end management tools to allow them to make those decisions, we thought this data would be really useful to them, and thought while we're at it, why don't we make it available to the industry overall? It would benefit the industry to have a single site like a Zillow where you can go to get kind of all the public data on farmland. Now we will be continuing to build out our tools within our farm management software, quote unquote power user tools around Acre Value, where you can envision going in and saying, okay, if I was to rent versus buy this new piece of ground, how would it affect my profitability? Or I'm thinking about buying these, you know, three new parcels of farmland, how that affect my overall efficiency? Do I have enough capacity to farm those fields? How would this affect my overall profitability of my business? So that's really where sort of the paid component of this farmland analysis focus we have is going to come in.
So the free is Zillow sorts of things where you can go in and say, there's an 80 here, I just want to know what it might be worth because I'm thinking about it. But if you're a Granular user, it's hooked into the back end and the farm management side, and it will say, now that's 25 miles from where you live. That is not going to work in your, unless you're really big and you're already transitioning from one place to another. So it takes all those sorts of things and puts them into the back end Granular tool and makes it really part of the farm management system and a way to help producers manage their growth.
Exactly. You can think of Acre Value as providing a market price for farmland, and our farm management software allows, we can calculate what is it worth to you, to your specific operation.
What's the web address for Acre Value?
AcreValue.com.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Again, that web address is acrevalue.com. Tamara Toscan is the general manager of Acre Value for Granular. I spoke with her and Augustina Sarsadota, the director of marketing for Granular, at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in November of 2015. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, for 100 years offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
It's Pepper Pot Day, as well as National Chocolate Again Day. In this day in agricultural history in 1766, Charles McIntosh was born. A Scottish chemist, he was the inventor of rubberized waterproof clothing. He also patented a steelmaking process. In 1800, Charles Goodyear was born. An American inventor, he baked rubber mixed with sulfur, a process that created vulcanized rubber. Previously, rubber was of limited use since it froze hard in the winter and was sticky in the summer. After years of persistent experimentation, Goodyear created a tough cured compound able to withstand heat and stress. Sadly, though, he was a poor businessman, and he never profited from his invention. In 1837, a threshing machine powered by a horse on a treadmill was patented in Winthrop, Maine, by Hiram A. and John A. Pitts. In 1954, William Marion Burton died, an American chemist. He devised the first thermal cracking process that more than doubled gasoline yield from crude oil by using high heat and pressure. And in 1997, fear of the bird flu led Hong Kong to order its entire population of chickens to be destroyed. Almost 1.5 million birds were culled after Hong Kong governmental officials discovered the H5N1 virus at 2 separate sites. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Today, in our final report from the History of the Soybean series, we'll travel, along with University of Illinois plant geneticist Ted Heimowitz, or at least his courtesy, with two soybean pioneers. Just as the Great Depression was taking hold in the United States, the U.S. government sent plant scientists to Japan, Korea, and Northeast China on a mission to collect soybeans. We'll pick up the story of this two-year odyssey.
On February 18, 1929, Howard Dorsett of Carlinville, Illinois, and Bill Morris, a native of Lowville, New York, set out from the States for East Asia. The United States Department of Agriculture dispatched the two and their families on a mission to collect accessions, different types, of the soybean. Well, in the late 1920s, it was apparent the soybean was about to become a very important crop in the U.S. USDA wanted as many different versions of this Asian native as possible. Dorsett and Morse were both plant scientists. By April of 1929, they and their families had settled in Tokyo. Over the next 2 years, the men, primarily Morse, because Dorsett fell ill with double pneumonia, collected exactly 4,451 different accessions of the soybean. These were soybeans, says University of Illinois plant geneticist Ted Heimowitz, grown throughout East Asia by native farmers. All but about 800 of the original accessions have been lost. Well, in the 1930s, there was no germplasm repository, and Heimowitz says the seeds were probed and, if found useless, thrown away.
So they collected the seed, and their records are, I went through all their records, journal after journal, and it looked like nothing major was going to happen to the material, what was remaining, that is. There's some 850 accessions, something like that. However, in the 1950s, things began to change.
What happened with the collection in the 50s, says Heimowitz, was unexpected, yet expected. He says when you collect a diverse set of materials, in this case, lots of different types of soybeans, you do not know the value of the collection until something in it becomes useful. Well, in the 50s, one of the accessions collected by Dorsett and Morse, a soybean called Peking 88788, was found to be resistant to the soybean cyst nematode. Well, the cyst nematode was and remains a major pest problem for U.S. farmers. The resistance found in 88788 is now incorporated, says Heimowitz, in 95% of the hybrids grown in the U.S.
So, here is one line, 88788, that paid for all plant introduction experiments, exploration, since the beginning of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. That one PI.
Heimowitz believes the material collected by Dorsett and Morse will become more valuable over time, because it was collected before modern soybean varieties were developed. We don't know what pathogens, diseases, may inflict the bean in the future, so it's important to maintain the diversity of the remaining Dorsett and Morse accessions. Those accessions are housed at the University of Illinois in its soybean germplasm collection. For U of I Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.